This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guests today, Sarah Jarosz, Sarah Watkins, and Aoife O'Donovan. I'm with her. If there was another way, I'd take it. If there was another way, down I'd go. If there was another way, this is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I am here today with Sarah Watkins, Sarah Jarosz, and Aoife O'Donovan, otherwise known as I'm With Her. How are y'all doing?
Great.
Maybe I should have had you introduce yourselves so we can recognize the different voices. But it's a real pleasure to be speaking with you here on Musician Spotlight. And I'm going to tell our listeners that we are recording this backstage at the Wilma Theater in, was early April still, 2018, before the band plays here in Missoula. Maybe let's first ask, I know Sarah's been here to, well, both the Sarahs I know have been to Montana, but I think this is the first time the group's been here, is that right?
It's the first time the group's been here, and it's my first time at the Wilma. This is Aoife talking, but I did play an epic dive bar show in Missoula with Crooked Still about maybe 10 years ago at a place called the Badlander. I think we should probably go to the Badlander for like a Coors Light after the show.
Great.
Many shows have happened at the Badlander, both locally and through National Touring Artists. But we're delighted to have you here in Montana. The group's work will undoubtedly be no stranger to our listeners, and certainly the individual musicians through 9 solo albums, in addition to, of course, groups like Nickel Creek, Crooked Still, aforementioned Crooked Still, and a dizzying list of collaborations with a number of players who have been, as I mentioned, have been guests on the show, including Sarah's brother, Sean Watkins. And there's a few Grammy Awards thrown in there as well, and an appearance on Jimmy Kimmel, which we'll talk to you a little bit about. Let's start with, and I know you get asked this all the time, but it's very compelling trying to imagine this, the trio coming together. So the Sheridan Opera House, Telluride, Colorado. Walk us through how this happened.
Well, I mean, I think there was a lot of life leading up to that moment. In my mind, it didn't like truly begin there. We all had many run-ins with each other, starting all the way back in 2001. For kind of all of us, I met Sarah Watkins. This is Sarah Jarosz talking. I met Sarah Watkins at the Old Settlers Music Festival in 2001. And Aoife and Sarah met that year as well at the Philadelphia Folk Festival. And then I met Aoife a few years later at the Rocky Grass Festival in Colorado. I was 15. And so we all would kind of run into each other and you know, big fans of each other's music. And then the first time that we actually came together as this trio was at the Sheridan Opera House late one night for a Nightgrass at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival in 2014. And it was one of those kind of magical moments that you can't really plan for. It just sort of happens. So, and here we are.
And was it just a kind of an impromptu thing where you just tossed out tunes or...
This kind of thing happens a lot. Like, you'll be at a festival with friends and you will find yourself playing possibly on stage with each other when, you find a little corner somewhere to find your common repertoire or think songs that are easy to join in on and you throw some music together. I think the difference was for us that there's something special to all of us singing together. And there was something... some extra spark of excitement that set it apart from that common experience that we've had with other people. That I think the timing and the moment was just right. And we set aside over the last few years, we'd set aside time to play together, to write, to play some shows, handful of shows here or there, or maybe even a little tour, and all sort of. A couple of years ago, we realized, okay, well, let's plan to release an album after we are done touring our solo records, and that's kind of where we are now.
Tell it to me, spit it out. If you push me, I'll just get up. Tell it to me.
One of the questions I had for you is how these tunes come together, because you've got not only 3 superb players and singers, but 3 writers, and 3 writers who were used to, you know, writing their own material and so forth. How did the tunes come together?
We started out doing other people's music because we just didn't really, I think it was more a time constraint than anything else, but we decided to become a band and we were going to, you know, go play a show. Our first booked show was at the Celtic Connections Festival in Scotland. And we had to put together a set of music, and we did some of our own songs, you know, a variety of tunes from each of our solo albums, but we also started by arranging other people's music. And I think that there's so much creativity that goes into the arrangement of a cover tune for a band, and how well that worked was just sort of like another check mark next to should this band be a band. It was like we could really come together on a creative level and sort of each person throw out ideas, and it wasn't as personal because it wasn't necessarily our own song. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's stick with that for a second, go back for a second to the cover tune concept. What brings you to a cover tune or a cover tune to you? Because, you know, you do some pretty diverse, you got the Adele cover. What brings you to another person's song where you think, okay, this is going to fit what we're doing?
I mean, I think it's a combination of just loving great songs and kind of like all gravitating towards a song that we all love, and also feeling like you can bring something fresh to the table. I certainly, there's so many songs that I listen to where I'm like, well, that's the way that song should be forever. And then there's other songs which you kind of feel like, oh, that could be fun to rearrange a little bit.
For me too, I think there's something appealing. I'm drawn to cover songs that say something that I would never find my way into.
Lyrically, you mean?
Yeah, there'll be a totally different corner or a different way of winding into a theme. Maybe it's a common theme, but the way they get to it is something that a lyrical journey that I would never come up with. And it's fun to sing other people's words like that. You know, you get tired of your own thoughts and your own way of saying things. And
yeah, it almost sounds more like an actress's or actor's way of approaching things, maybe.
Yeah, possibly. Except that when you sing a song enough, or even maybe it doesn't take a lot of repetition, but there's an ownership, an odd ownership that happens, I think, with certain cover songs. See, for me, if I sing them enough, they start to feel like mine in a way because I attach my own life experience to them, you know. So they're still not really my words, but I feel like I'm living inside it somehow.
This was all you, none of it. Put your hands on my body and told me.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Sarah Watkins, Sarah Giroux, and Aoife O'Donovan, the group I'm with her. We're talking about chemistry a little bit, and let's talk a little bit more about this. Just the concept of bringing three terrific musicians together. And I think of the analogy of sports, too. It could be, you know, you can have three great players or you know, five great players if you're playing basketball, and you think, well, this is going to be great, and it doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. I love this quote here. You like to do life together. You know, decided that you could, if I could find this here, play well together and eat well together. I love this because it really speaks to the kind of chemistry that needs to happen for a group of any kind.
We just had some great huevos rancheros at Catalyst here in Missoula. Yeah. So we all had huevos rancheros.
Does that happen? Is usually all three members get all the same things?
Not always, but we...
I feel like 90% of the time we do.
A lot of the times we do. We have shared interests and, you know, we... To the chemistry of it, I think that when you're in a band, you're living together, basically. And it helps when there's some kind of commonality. If there's one person who's a total bummer and doesn't want to go anywhere and you're sharing a vehicle, and the other two people want to go completely opposite, have completely opposite goals for the day, only one person is probably going to be happy, and not very, because it's going to be grumpy. And I've been in situations like that on tour. You know, this is the complete opposite end of the schedule where I think we work really well together. We like to help each other out with our individual goals, and we share a lot of common lifestyle choices. So it works well in a practical way off stage. And the fact that on stage we get to enjoy ourselves as well makes this a band that we really look forward to coming back to. And we're not thinking, oh shoot, like how am I going to deal with that issue that always comes up? It just works well.
I think also, like, a big part of the reason that it works well is because we were able to ease into it because of the nature of our, you know, coming into this project from, you know, three different kind of solo projects, just because of the nature of those three schedules. You know, our schedule for the first 2 years of being a band was like, okay, we have these 3 weeks here and like this week here and 4 days here. And because it was like this really kind of organic easing into being a band, I think that's also part of the reason it's so enjoyable.
One of the things that's making it actually continue to work is all the things that we're talking about, where we really enjoy getting up on stage and playing a show together. And Jeroz and I were talking about this earlier this afternoon, that sometimes being on tour is so exhausting, but the things that make it exhausting are never making music with each other. You know, that's always the most fun part.
Sure.
You know, it's like the transportation from point A to point B and checking into this and blah, blah, blah. But it's once you actually take out your instruments and you start singing, it's like, I mean, it sounds totally cheesy and ridiculous, but I never get sick of that part.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about See You Around, the first full-length recording that you all have done. And just briefly, just talk a little bit about how this came together. And one of the things I understand, first of all, Peter Gabriel's studio in England? Go on with your bad
sounds. Silent owner.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, it's not like he was hanging out at the, you know, the lunch table with
peeking
us.
Peeking in, kind of seeing
how we saw him one day with Sting.
Oh, stop.
Our friend Sting.
That was just one day, though. Otherwise.
They were there to do an interview. Yeah. They were doing something there, but... Yeah, I think, I'm not sure what the story is, but he owns the studio. There are two rooms, and we were in the wood room, which is the smaller of the two, and you hear a lot of that room on the record.
And my understanding was that your producer made sure that, at least for a good part of the recording, the three of you are in the same room, you're recording live in the studio, all together, you know, having eye contact and instrument contact, and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that the entire recording was like that. I think one of the main reasons that we were all, eager to want to work with Ethan Johns is I feel like his ability in recordings of his that I'd heard in the past to capture dynamics really well in a recording, which is not such an easy thing to do. And so, yeah, it was kind of daunting and a little scary on the first day to walk into that little room and see the setup with zero isolation, not even isolation from Ethan and Dominic Monks, the engineer. So we're literally all in the same room together. And so, you know, these songs had only existed for about 3 weeks. You know, we had just been in Vermont like the month, literally 3 weeks before. Aoife and I had never even met Ethan until flying all the way to England to record. So there was a lot of newness and a lot of really feeling like our souls were being laid bare in this process, I feel like, which took some adjustments.
In every way, our souls being laid bare, because there was these new lyrics, these new songs that we had just put together, and also like emotionally and musically in the studio being laid bare. It was, I hadn't thought of it that way. That it was a 1-2 punch of sort of jumping in the deep end. Goodbye, brother. Hello, railroad. So long, Chicago. All these years thought I was where I ought to be.
We talked a little bit at the beginning of the interview about Jimmy Kimmel, about, you know, the fact that as we're speaking to you here in the beginning of April, you're on the back-to-backs of sold-out shows in Portland, in Seattle, you know, and the Jimmy Kimmel show, that's pretty darn cool, you know. All kinds of stuff. I'm looking at the schedule, I'm seeing sold-out shows, all kinds of stuff. Just talk a little bit about what it means to see this project. No, this group, I want to be clear here, because one of the things I remember reading was that this is a group. This is not a project. This is not just a collaboration. Seeing this group succeed on this kind of level, because it's not a given, even though you've all been tremendously successful at everything else you've done, that's got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, we have a couple of times on this tour been on stage to a packed room at the 9:30 Club in Washington, D.C. We walked out on stage and there were... I think, you know, 1,200. Over 1,000 people standing, cheering. And, you know, I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I guess this is a great gig. We're opening for somebody. You just start kind of waiting to walk off the stage and have the actual headliner walk onto the stage. And it took a couple of nights for us to realize we are the headliner. Like, these people are miraculously hearing our music, and maybe they've been fans of each of us individually, or maybe they've come to our record by some other means, but it's just unbelievable that we're getting to do our debut album with a tour like this and have such a great response from the crowd and from the press, and we just feel really lucky that it's catching on, and hopefully we'll continue to get to play really fun sold out shows, because it's a blast. But I'm sure that we'll have many shows in our future with a smattering of fans in the audience, and you know.
I think also part of what makes all of that so fun is that we get to share it. You know, I think like the fact that we've done solo work and like played solo shows, there's just something about when you have a successful thing that people are obviously really into and it's supported, that it's just way better when something good happens to be able to share it with other people. And so I think that that's why it also, you know, feels so good in this context. And this early on, you know, the record's not even been out that long, and to look into the audience and see people already singing along to lyrics, you know, like, that's just so cool. It's really awesome.
See You Around is the name of the debut recording from I'm With Her. I'mwithherband.com is the name of the website. Sarah Jarosz, Sarah Watkins, and Aoife O'Donovan. What a pleasure talking shop with you all. And at some point, I'm sure we'll do features on each of you individually. But great to talk with you all at one time.
You
and,
too.
Thanks
Thank
so much.
You.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Having us.
Great interview.
I'm gonna hold my cards close, cover my scars, and mostly tell you little lies. I hope you'll never know this kind of loneliness that's eating me alive. If I pretend.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been I'm With Her. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook as well as Twitter. Our program is available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to Logjam Presents for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.